inside college football. This is the College Football Connection Podcast with Marty Jenkins and Alvin Reed on 101 ESPN.
Greetings, college football fans, and welcome in. Week number 7 is here, and our crew for the College Football Connection ready to give you the latest on everything transpiring in the betting world, the college gridiron. Bradford Bruns, Alvin Reed in studio with you this week. Our man, Marty Jenkins, hopefully checking in later, at least providing some of those patented picks. Mr. Reed, good to have you back, sir, after a one-week hiatus from the studio, riding high, no doubt, still after that last KU win, right?
Right. Missed you guys, but I couldn't miss that big KU game, man,
no.
Against UCF. Man, I tell you what, Jayhawks took care of business. They basically said, we're going to run the football.
Mm-hmm.
I got a kick out of the thing after the game. Coach said he told the receivers, he said, like, we aren't going to pass that much, you know, and just get ready to block. And everybody said, like, okay, you know, if you're going to be honest, we're going to block.
Hey, the fact that KU can execute a plan of that nature now, it tells you everything about the strides that have been made.
I was just going to say, the fact that KU can execute anything right now is still, I still think we're a year ahead of where anybody thought we would be at this time. But, and we'll get to the pick, I'm going to start shedding that. We're still a year ahead of schedule.
Fear not. KU is involved in the four contests that we're going to cover for you this week. Speaking of business, though, that you had referenced a moment or so ago, another, we'll just call it a banner week in week number 6, Alvin. Overall now, our trio's record is up to 104-83 overall. So as Mr. Jenkins would say, a little money in that proverbial pocket, and we'll attempt to keep it rolling in week number 7, starting with one of the primetime, prime afternoon affairs. Couple of undefeateds, Alvin, and this isn't Pac-12 after dark. No, it is Pac-12 matinee special, because you've got number 8 Oregon, undefeated at 5-0, traveling to Washington. The Huskies, ranked number 7, unblemished as well. And at first glance, initial line here, Huskies favored at home by a meager total of 3. That's an interesting over-under figure of 67 overall. So many different storylines to monitor in this contest, Alvin. And it begins first and foremost. It's the obvious one. It's the easy one. But you're talking about the individual mano-a-mano showdown between Michael Penix Jr. and Bo Nix. It is almost here.
It is almost here. And I think, you know, your Pac-12, as you started the year, suddenly everybody's fixated on Colorado. And now Colorado's played 2 games. And granted, they did make a comeback a couple of weeks ago, you know, against USC. But they were pretty much beaten down. Then you go out to Arizona State, and, you know, Arizona State makes a play or two. You lose that game, too. So maybe I'm not saying that the bloom is off the rose at Colorado. I'm saying that, wait a minute, Oregon's undefeated, Washington's undefeated. They're playing on Saturday afternoon. That's the game you want to see.
Oh, yeah.
And I think that's the game that we have been truly waiting for.
Well, Michael Penix Jr. hasn't had to basically pump up or puff out his chest in front of the Arizona State students section.
Yes,
Thank you, Mr. Sanders, there. But speaking of Sanders and Penix Jr., you're talking about the 2 quarterbacks who have accounted for the biggest number of yardage on a per-game basis in the nation. Penix Jr. here. Right now, Alvin, he is actually the favorite to take home the Heisman if it were awarded today at plus 200. So temporarily, at least, he is overtaking Caleb Williams. But this is what you love about somebody who has engineered this attack. Yes, you can look at the surface statistics, the easy ones, and say almost 2,000 yards already. Of course, he has so many different options at his disposal. Is he going to top 400 in this game? Is he going to throw for at least 4 touchdowns, which he has done in 3 of the first 5 contests for the Huskies? I don't know about that one, but the recipe is here for just a vast number of points. When you think about the setting, it very well could come down to a scenario in which the last team to get the ball, we've said this on a few different occasions so far during the college football season, maybe ultimately prevails in this contest. And we know that Nix certainly hasn't been any slouch either.
Absolutely. Now, big numbers so far. I've been leaning toward playing the under on the big numbers. This is one where I honestly think this will, like you said, it'll come down to the last 2 possessions. And I'm talking 45-40, something like that.
Almost like MU-LSU last weekend.
Which I played it under.
And
it was like, at halftime, I'm thinking like, oh, that under looks good because I think both, you know, Missouri can hold down LSU and they won't score. LSU will stop them from ripping and running up and down the field, but it was a totally different game. Well, I mean, if one team, I don't care if it's Missouri, LSU, Appalachian State, if somebody scores 32 points on you in a half, that's a concern.
There's some problems.
That's a problem, right?
I love the setup for this contest, and much like you, I take a glance at that number of 67, and I kind of scoff at it because I'm going way over for this one. And for UW, for the better part of the season, until I would venture to say the last couple of weeks, probably didn't receive the respect it deserved in the rankings. Slowly climbing up, now you're approaching the top five, and this is the case here. This is the ideal scenario for not a coming out party, because everybody understands just how great, how miraculous Michael Penix has been, but the showdown, the narrative aspect of it all, going up against one of the best, the counterpart at the position in Knicks. Both of these quarterbacks have come so far from having attended their original schools, and that's what makes it very unique here, too. UW, to me, Alvin, seizes this momentous opportunity with a number of just three being favored by just three. I'm going to take Washington to cover that and probably end up prevailing in this by at least a TD. Maybe not more than that. Not double digits, but go with the TD in this case.
Okay, I'm going to disagree with you on this one. I'd still look at Oregon as the best team in that conference. Mm-hmm. Now, that's based on coming into the season. That's based on what they've done so far. I think that they stare down Washington, tie game, close game, but Oregon scores that late touchdown, and that late touchdown propels them to cover, you know, that three, even if they don't win. But I think they win the game outright. I think Oregon is a decent money line bet. The payoff, because you got number 7 versus number 8, isn't as large as it was. It was like, oh man, this is a shocking kind of thing.
Right.
And 3 points, you know, what is 3 points? If you're home and you're getting 3 points, isn't that a push? Because you get 3 points for playing at home, if not 3.5. But I'm gonna stick with Oregon. I'm going to stick with Bo Nix. I'm going to stick with the fact that they are the class of the conference until proven otherwise. And this is, like you said, this is Washington's chance to prove otherwise. But I'm going to go with the Ducks. I think the Ducks cover the three. I think they're happy to get three as far as just wagering is concerned. Not that they're wagering. But, no, I think they win outright. So they take their three. They win the game. But I do think they blow out the 67. The two teams blow that right on out of the water.
Ducks have the ball last. Alvin, you're siding with Oregon here. I will go with Washington, and both of us, let's not spend any further time dissecting exactly how many points will be garnered in this game. Let's move on to the Big 12, shall we? And speaking of superlative signal caller play, Mr. Daniels, KU? Last week, Alvin preached to us about what you saw in that performance. Granted, yes, against UCF, but still, KU going into OK State. The Pokes, Kansas, has moved all the way to 5-1 overall, carrying that number 23 ranking nationwide with pride. Going on the road in 2023 certainly feels different.
It feels very different. And it feels like, and I know he says, like, man, you know, every other game KU plays seems like it's the biggest game they're going to play in the last 12 years, okay, or something like that.
Fair enough.
And it's fair enough. Here we are again. Now, why is this game so big? Because you're favored, and you're going on the road, and you haven't beat Oklahoma State on the road since, I think, 1995?
Yeah, you're favored on the road at OK State.
We're favored on the road at OK State, who defeated a Kansas State team who has obviously been up, down, all around.
True.
You know, Oklahoma State rushed for, I think, 143 yards against a K-State team that had been giving up 73 yards a game.
True.
Now, different schemes, different places, all right? But the fact of the matter is, you're supposed to go to Stillwater, and you're supposed to beat Oklahoma State on the road, and you're supposed to come home after your bye week and come home to play on homecoming Saturday, October 28th, against an undefeated Oklahoma team, and the world will be watching.
Mm.
And you would already be, you win this game, you're already at 6 wins, so you're bowl eligible if you win in Stillwater. So you're coming back to Lawrence with 6 wins and a chance to beat Oklahoma on national TV.
And you just touched upon it. Perhaps of equal importance here, or as much importance, that prospect of not looking too far ahead to what lies on the horizon. Right. Because in front of you, you do have a team that just knocked off K-State, and yes, the Wildcats have been inconsistent at best this season. If you are an Oklahoma State supporter, on one hand, you like the fact that that defense last week actually picked off Will Howard 3 times.
Yes.
On the flip side, Will Howard hasn't been nearly as good this season as he was a year ago. Nonetheless, for me, Alvin, looking at it with the Jayhawks being warranted 3-point favorites with the over-under in this tilt set for 57.5. Oklahoma State has been the quarterback production there has been so unreliable. And if you are Oklahoma State, if you are Coach Gundy, and you're really expecting to get an encore in terms of the ground performance from a week ago, think again. Kansas this year, we understand from a run defense standpoint, more stout, the defense in general more stout, and the game breakers that you have on offense, not only Daniels, but to me, this seems like a prime opportunity for Neal to get off in the backfield and be able to exploit quite a few holes, quite a few lanes if they're left affected by the Pokies D2.
Yeah, and this number goes up. If they announce, you know, like, and we're now at Wednesday. We don't know if Jalen Daniels is going to play again. We don't know if Jason Bean's going to start. We don't know technically who's going to start.
Yeah.
My guess is that Daniels doesn't play. My guess is that with the off week coming after this week, that you would try to have him ready to go against Oklahoma and then split snaps, because Bean earned the right to be out on the field. He was not bad against UCF. They just ran the ball all the
time.
And
even earlier in the season, frankly, when pressed into duty.
Right.
Not bad. And, functional.
And, you know, the Texas game, I mean, if they – listen, you could have called Tom Brady. Hey, man, you're starting. Well, wait. When? Today, 20 minutes from now.
TB12's ready to go.
No, he'd be ready to go, but he'd say, like, well, you know, I have started games under a lot better circumstances than this. I like KU covering. I like KU winning the game. I think they covered the 3. I think they win. I do say under, though. I do say under.
Ooh.
Because I think KU wants to run the football. And there was a point in the game against UCF, and really there was a point in the game against Texas, and people forget, like, man, KU had the ball. And we're down 6. And there were like 5 minutes left of the third quarter.
Yeah.
Kansas has figured out, hey, we're all right, okay? We ain't Georgia. We can run the ball, and we can also watch the clock run.
That's right.
And limit the plays that you run against our defense. And that's important. The fewer plays, really with any team, but KU, you know, is in that genre, the fewer plays we allow you to run against us are the fewer chances that you will have to score points. I like the formula. I like the under. I like KU.
It's all about the availability of Daniels here when you assess that number of 57.5. And I hear what you're saying. I still have a hard time believing that he won't be out there under center when Saturday afternoon rolls around. But the rationale as far as getting through this game, you have a more than capable backup, and then looking ahead to that mammoth clash to come, I understand all of those different variables. No matter what, KU is going to win here, is going to cover that figure, so I'm with you on that front. I will pivot a bit and still bank on a bit more in the way of offensive fireworks. I will take the over and say that both of these teams account for just 60 or so. So give me the over on that one, as well as KU overall. And when you talk about offensive exploits and offensive heroics, the next game on our docket here as we move into the primetime showcase games for Saturday evening in week number 7 of college football on the College Football Connection. Number 10 USC, 6-0 at Notre Dame, and the folks in South Bend now looking at that team, which is 5-2. Alvin, all seemed well after the rebound triumph over Duke, and then what happened against Louisville? A 13-point loss. Maybe that's why Marty isn't here today.
Okay. One, Louisville's a better football team than I've been giving them credit for.
Okay.
And I'm not the first to say that. I've been reading that all week. So, like, and looking at it, and I'm just, if you look at some of the analytics leading up to that game, and now once that game has passed, Louisville is not crappy on defense.
No.
And pretty damn good on offense. So thus, 13 points, and I had Notre Dame covering in that game, winning the game. Well, you know what? Maybe I wasn't paying enough attention to Louisville, especially Louisville playing at home.
Same boat.
I'll give them that. I think what we're learning about Notre Dame is where Notre Dame was last year is they are building back into a power. They are not there yet. I was ready to put them there a little too prematurely.
Same here. Great point there. And in this game, still against a USC team that moves the ball up and down the field at will, Fighting Irish still favored by 2.5 points. The figure here of 63, I've been guilty of doing this with Notre Dame a lot so far this season, but I'm just expecting a colossal point total, and not just because of what Notre Dame is capable of doing, what we saw flash in earlier games this season, yes, against inferior opponents, but Caleb Williams on the other side.
Yeah.
And we referenced about 15 minutes ago, now Michael Penix has been able to unseat him or usurp him as far as overall Heisman odds, but Caleb Williams just going about his business. Now, granted, that game versus Arizona, especially for the defense, again, the much maligned defense, it wasn't pretty. You have to go into multiple overtimes in order to topple Arizona.
It was some slop, right?
It was absolutely sloppy.
And you're not in overtime at all if your kicker makes a kick. Okay.
True.
All right. So you know there's no three overtimes because you win the game outright.
No.
I would say this about Caleb Williams. They lose if that guy's not playing quarterback for them.
Yeah,
they were just sleepwalking through that game, and he took it upon himself to, like, you know what, guys, I really don't want to lose tonight at home, Arizona. Let's get serious, okay? And he made it happen. How good a team is USC on the road against Notre Dame? After that slop, that's another reason that I'm favoring Notre Dame in this game.
I love that point. As Williams has done on countless occasions throughout his career there in Pasadena. And when you look at the total numbers, Alvin, this season, and you think about a shade over 1,800 passing yards, 22 touchdowns, he has the one pick, he's completing passes at better than a 70% rate, and it's almost as if the general population just expects that from him now.
Yes.
Takes it for granted.
And it was, it's just hard to fathom that he played the game that he did, yet they never could shake Arizona. Now, once again, well, who's the culprit? The defense. But it just seemed like any moment in that game, in that second half, that USC would get a stop and score a touchdown, and USC would get a stop and score a touchdown, and that would be that. And it just never happened. It was back and forth the entire game.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't have an explanation for it. And you're looking at, I saw this earlier today, you know, I guess there's a chance of rain in Notre Dame. And so they're doing these drills, you know, where they're spraying the kids from USC with like a water jet gun while they're catching punts and whatnot. And I'm thinking to myself, you know, if you got to do that, you got a little too much on your mind. You know, don't you just say, like, hey, it might be raining. You all have played in the rain before. Let's just go out here and play football. I don't know, man. That's overthinking something, and maybe USC overthinks a little bit too much, and maybe Notre Dame settles down and underthinks. We're not going to win the national championship. We're not going to be in the college football playoff, but you know what we got? We got two losses, and that's all. And now if we run the table, all right, we'll end up with two losses, and we'll play on New Year's Day, and quite frankly, that's about where they should be.
Sure, in 2023.
In 2023. That's going back to the original statement that maybe – I had them a little bit farther up than I should have. And, you know, my man leaves, bolts, goes to LSU, and you're thinking to yourself, like, man, you're leaving behind I don't know what, because I really wasn't too impressed with your team, and now you're going to LSU, and everybody's like, oh, LSU's going to win the national championship, and blah, 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 and you see where they're at.
Well, lamentably, we'll touch on LSU in a couple of minutes.
Yeah, so, you know, technically – aren't these two teams at the same place? And maybe I had Notre Dame and LSU a little bit too high. No, I don't think I had LSU too high. Now, part of that, I don't like Brian Kelly, and I really do like Marcus Freeman, so maybe that's the difference in the two. So maybe I gave too much credit to Notre Dame coming into the season. But I do think Notre Dame, they find it within themselves to pretty much shut USC down. I'm not talking about shut them out. But I'm saying, like, they're not going to come in there and ring up 35, 42 points on Notre Dame.
Right.
As a result, that's 63. I'm still going to go with that under. Ooh. I'm going to go with that under. I'm going to go with Notre Dame.
You definitely discern some obvious parallels between these two programs. You don't have to dig very far for those. Could go one of two ways for Notre Dame. With the amount of offensive talent, especially the talent involved on that side of the ball, I don't see Notre Dame going into any sort of tank here. Does Notre Dame respond back at home, really give USC everything it can handle? USC, not just last week versus Arizona, it was incredibly susceptible in that second half versus Colorado the weekend prior, which shocked me as I saw the third quarter and the fourth quarter play out there. I know that Sanders is a singular talent at quarterback, but without Travis Hunter, to allow Colorado to be in that game, in Boulder or not, really blew me away. But here, this is an opportunity for Caleb Williams to once again cement himself as the unquestioned premier player in the country. I can't go against my better judgment here. I can't not pick the Trojans in this spot, still having that pristine record of 6-0. By the slimmest of margins, I will take the Trojans to prevail here, make it all the way to 7-0. And for Notre Dame is going to get its points. Make no mistake here. Yeah. I will take
against
the over.
Defense?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I will take the over, and I know it's high. It's 63. It could climb even more before Saturday evening. But if it goes to 70, let me say right here, I'm not changing. I'm not altering my point.
Now, in that Colorado game, I thought USC just lost interest. I honestly do. You know, especially being on the road, you blasted them, and you know, you're thinking to yourself, man, you got guys you don't want to get hurt. You got guys that are like, I just thought they lost interest in the game. But then, you know, to be within 7 points, you lost a little bit too much interest in the game. Or your defense really does suck. And I think their defense just sucks. That's it. They just got the hosses over there. Something is wrong.
That was the bugaboo before the season even started. The chink in the armor as far as the national, you know, college football playoff, let's say, aspirations for USC. That was the biggest malady that this program faced. So, like me, Marty's going to ride with USC, and Alvin actually takes a page out of your book in terms of the figure here altogether. So Marty will also go with the under in this contest, and he's taking USC to, as much as it hurts him deep internally, he is riding with the Trojans to knock off the Fighting Irish.
I think Marty's trying to spin the earth off its axis, and like, he really, really wants Notre Dame to win. So this, as a result, he's taking USC. I think, you know, like,
well, I think both of us, as we spin it forward, I don't disagree with you there, as we spin it forward to our final game in week number 7 to cover on the College Football Connection, both of us have wanted Missouri to do a better job of asserting itself in order to kind of prove our bona fides so far this season, because for the life of us, for our lives, Alvin, we're not able to identify correctly what the Tigers are doing from week to week. And last Saturday against LSU, topsy-turvy offensive affair ends up going to LSU thanks to a huge second-half surge by the final of 49-39. Points galore. We anticipated that figure, I think, but definitely saw more signs, especially in the second half, of where to exploit Mizzou. And specifically, I know that Daniels is a transformational player. This Daniels for LSU.
Yeah.
Jane, that is. But my goodness gracious, conundrum after conundrum for Mizzou this season when it comes to the defense and not being able to force an ample number of turnovers. And as Mizzou, Eli Drinkwitz, Luther Burden and company turn the page to go to Lexington on Saturday evening, there's your primetime game, not against LSU, but against 5-1 Kentucky. Kentucky still ranked 24th despite being trounced by Georgia last weekend. Kentucky has done a few things very, very well this season, namely to run the ball and to stop the opposing run. Cody Schrader went off once again against a suspect LSU defense. I'm not sure, though, here, Alvin, how well Mizzou is able to establish the line of scrimmage on the road, so I have reservations about Missouri's ability to bounce back when it really needs a victory to remain relevant near the top of the SEC East.
Well, okay, I'm going to write off the fact that Kentucky got blasted at Georgia, because Georgia just did not show that they were that team that was capable of winning 3 national championships in a row.
It was coming.
But it was coming. And somebody was going to get it. And somebody was going to get it in Athens. not on the road necessarily. And Kentucky just happened to be at the right spot at the right time. And I think it was like for the first time since like last April, it wasn't 100 degrees. And, you know, it was just like this beautiful, sunny, picture-perfect day. And Kentucky was just in the wrong place at the wrong time.
Totally.
And they
agree.
Got stomped. All right. So now you're coming home to play a Missouri team that was in control of the game in the first half and lost complete control of the game in the second half. All right. You know, Daniels, the 35-yard touchdown scramble, nobody should be able to scramble 35 yards to score a touchdown at that point in the game. Okay. That was a nail biter. That was a close game. And he takes off. Okay. So now they've got the lead. And, you know, like, okay, so how do you respond, Missouri? And Missouri kind of responds, but we all know how it ended. Missouri, I think, unfortunately, carries that with them to Commonwealth Stadium in Lexington. I think Kentucky has already forgotten about getting their ass kicked in Athens. And Missouri is still thinking, like, what happened last weekend? And here we go, and we're playing in a sold-out stadium with a team that will tackle you. You know, maybe they didn't tackle Georgia too well, but they stick, they tackle, they play solid defense. Once Missouri seemed like they had the formula with Luther Burden, and then all of a sudden they forgot in the second half to get the ball in his hands.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he's at all these targets, 148 yards at halftime, all these targets. Oh, I have 148 yards at halftime. And he does nothing in the second half because he doesn't have the ball. Now, part of the problem with that is Missouri didn't have the ball. LSU had the ball most of the second half. But I think they're a little bit more shaken than a lot more shaken than Kentucky will be coming into this game. I think that's a problem. I do believe Kentucky covers the 2.5, which I think is a low spread, quite frankly.
It is.
You know, like, I'm not saying Missouri is a bad football team. I think they are much improved, obviously, over the last year. But I think that 2.5 at home, once again, when we talk about 3 points, they're not even getting the 3 points for playing at home. I think Kentucky covers the 3. I am going to say that it's going to go over, too.
So Mark Stoops is essentially pulling a Belichick here and saying we're on to Cincinnati moving forward.
That's
already
right.
Turning that page.
Right.
Whereas with Missouri, I do think it's more than fair to question just how profoundly last weekend's defeat may actually end up affecting this team. Now, this is a team that has dealt with and has been able to overcome several health issues over the past few weeks. Cook, once again, was examined during the course of the LSU loss, and yet at the same time, the only thing that we've really seen hampered there, Alvin, has been his ability to take the football down consistently and to run. Now, I'm still curious, I'm still perplexed, frankly, as to why when Schrader and Pete are having success in the running game, yes, you have been absolutely afflicted by penalties, but to only run the ball when you're running it effectively 13 times against an LSU defense that, unlike Kentucky, doesn't really want to tackle you, to me, that's pretty, I'm incredulous about that.
I agree with you. And that was, I had saw that number after the game was over, and I think to myself, like, you know, there, you should run the ball 12 times on a drive sometimes. Just if it's going, keep working it. And that might be a jet sweep to Luther Burden.
There it is.
To count as one of your running plays. But run the football. Don't give up on running the football. The Tigers found success in the first half. I think the Tigers did not factor in we should do something totally different in the second half.
Well,
because I do believe LSU is going to come out and play a better game in the second half than they did in the first half, which they did. I just don't think, you know, you can't turn it to this sieve on defense. And also, you can't turn the ball over, which Missouri did also. You know, you can't give them a shorter field than you should.
Halftime adjustments. Missouri held the 22-7 lead and then imploded. Johnny Walker gets tossed. A spitting episode. All of a sudden, Daniels is getting flushed out of the pocket. Mm. He's moving left and right. He's having his way with your defense. And as much as it pains me to say it, Kelly outmaneuvered Drinkwitz when it counted the most.
I agree. And I'm glad you brought up the penalty, because that's one of those things where, like, hey, seriously, man, you start for an SEC football team, and you got thrown out of the game.
You're one of the best players on that defense.
Yeah, and you got thrown out of the game, okay? Now, if I'm the coach, all right, I am not Nuke Rockne, Lombardi, Belichick.
I don't know. You fire me up.
Right. But I might tell them, like, you know what? win, lose, or draw, you're sitting the first half against Kentucky. Because I want to send a message not only to the guys that are on the team now, but to the guys who are going to come here and play football in the future, that I'm not. I ain't having that. If you are so unaware of the situation around you that you would do something like that, that, man, I can't trust you.
I concur, because you're looking for somebody, especially on that D-line, to assume more of a leadership mantle next season. Darius Robinson is going to be gone. He's been setting the tone in that regard, and for that sort of behavior to occur and to, in a manner of speaking, be supported or not batted down immediately if some sort of punishment is not imposed, it's neither here nor there, but I do think it's interesting as far as exactly the identity and how much is talked about with respect to, you know, being prideful of the program, putting that best foot forward, and so forth. We'll see exactly what comes to fruition in that regard. But as far as overall picks go, UK by 2.5. I need to honestly see it from Mizzou on the road, because there were shaky stretches in that game several weeks ago versus Vanderbilt. That one wasn't in hand until later in the fourth quarter. Right. The Wildcats here favored by 2.5. I think it is a field goal game, quite literally. I will side ultimately with UK in this department. The 52.5, though, you know what? Still appears low, quite frankly to me. Still appears low when these offenses, especially in Missouri's, can get off on more than one occasion. So give me the over there. As far as Marty is concerned, weighing in on Kentucky, Missouri as well, he is going to ride with the Wildcats to take the under. And for the purpose of our record keeping all the way around, Mr. Jenkins, he is playing it low. Mm. Kentucky under, Kansas going with the Jayhawks under as well, USC in the under, and Oregon with the under. So
I was heavy on the under. Now, 2 weeks ago, I was very heavy on the unders and broke even about, you know, but I was heavy on the unders. So I'm a little like that Kentucky game, and I'm going over on it. I just, Missouri scores, Kentucky scores. I just think that's a low under. I think 52.5. What are we talking about here? 24-24 is 48. You're winning 4 points at 24-24. So that means if somebody gets to 30, if somebody gets to 30 and somebody isn't completely, you know, oblivious on offense, then you top 52.5. So I'm going to go with the over on that one. I'm pretty confident on the over on that. I'm pretty confident on the Kentucky pick. And going back over the years, also with Kentucky, Kentucky has come into Columbia and just flabbergasted a Missouri team that was better than they are when Kentucky was first trying to get it together.
That's right.
That, 4 years ago, the how did Kentucky win that game? They were losing and scored on the last play of the game.
Don't remind me of it.
Remember that?
Oh, I do. I do. Everybody in Como does.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So it's just like, man, the Kentucky Wildcats got this thing with Missouri where it's like, hey, you know, it's like they're, you know, Stoops and all, but they're like, hey guys, Zelda. When there's zeros on the clock, we're going to have more points than they are.
Simmer down.
I think we're all right. And lastly, I'll say this: from going there, when Commonwealth Stadium is like going back in time, and it's a closed stadium. There ain't open end or whatever, and so the upper decks aren't that high. So you kind of got this like gladiator kind of thing going on in this grass field.
I can dig that.
Then it gets loud in there. And, you know, like I say, Kentucky got stomped last week. But the people believe in Stoops, and they believe in the Kentucky Wildcats. And it's going to be loud, and it's going to be for real. And Missouri will really have to face up and play a good football game to win it. I think they're capable of doing that, but I think Kentucky is more capable.
Underrated SEC atmosphere when the program is at least relevant.
When it's relevant.
Yeah, haven't had the privilege of observing, watching a game there. My lone trip to Lexington, I actually was able to drive by Commonwealth, stopped outside with my brother for a select baseball tournament, and snapped a photo of a Randall Cobb banner. That tells you how long ago I visited Commonwealth Stadium. Let's switch conferences. Rapid fire fashion, Alvin. Right. Wanted to throw just a couple at you. Overall, just spanning some overviews here of a couple of other nice affairs on the evening docket. That's really where the action is from 6:30 onward on Saturday night. Number 25, Miami is going to try to get overcome whatever the heck happened last weekend, but can that happen against UNC? Undefeated Tar Heels, mind you, at 5-0 with a Heisman Trophy winning or a Heisman Trophy candidate of their own at quarterback. That's an interesting matchup.
And I think May makes his case that I'm still in this Heisman Trophy thing. I think North Carolina's going to light up a beleaguered Miami team. I'm sorry. After what happened last week, I don't see how they get fired up and go on the road and win a football game.
How do you recover from that?
I just don't think you can. I don't think you can do it. I will say this. This is kind of like, let's go back to the Super Bowl, Seattle and New England. And Russell Wilson, you're the quarterback. And when they said, let's pass the ball, you know what? I think you look over there and say, like, no, let's hand the ball to Marshawn Lynch. And then we got a timeout. And if he doesn't score, we can figure out what we're going to do on the next down. But let's not do this. So the coaching staff decides we're going to run the ball. And, you know, you're the quarterback. And he said, we've done this all season long. But at the same time, I'm looking at the clock. And I'm looking like, wait a minute. If I take this ball and I kneel right here, the game's over.
But, Alvin, that's been his M.O. in the past.
He did this nonsense in Oregon one time.
Yeah.
Right.
How'd that work out?
Right. So I'm just thinking, like, man, those players are down there. So, like, this numbskull cost us a game. I mean, it's just, we can be undefeated.
The viral videos, the gifts that keep on giving. Like, and gifts.
Yeah, I know.
What are we saying?
What the bleep are we doing?
Could have been a truly special campaign for the Hurricanes.
You're 6-0, and you might have lost to North Carolina.
Maybe.
Anyway. But you're going to lose to North Carolina.
You're going to lose today, or on Saturday, rather. What about, though, one more ride here? We started with the Titanic showdown between Oregon and Washington. How about UCLA at 4-1, number 18 ranked Bruins at Oregon State 5-1? That's a dandy too.
It is. But I'll tell you what, man, the Beavers, they win that game. Oregon State is a pretty good football team. UCLA is growing into it. You got true freshmen, man. If I don't know if you've been able to watch him play,
not so much.
All right, I've seen. That first game he came in and won the game for him. I forgot who they were struggling against. They put him in the game. He made some plays. They won the game. Man, he'll make one play. We were still like, man, this dude's going to be like in the Heisman Trophy, you know, running next year.
Yeah.
And then he'll make a play like, man, this dude looked like he belonged in high school. Because he does belong in high school.
And
I think he's like truly 18 or something.
Now that's a true freshman
So he's up, down, all around, man. You're going up to Corvallis. Come on, man. That's a tough place to play. It's liable to be 38 degrees outside, the wind blowing. I like Oregon State in that game.
I'll second that one. Well, we had the big four-pack right off the top, but intriguing matchups litter the schedule for week number 7. And to sit here and think, my goodness, we're approaching mid-October, you start to already theorize and speculate about, yes, I'm going to say it, conference championships, bowl matchups, because we are in the thick of the respective conference schedules. It's a lot of fun. To recap so far on the season, our trio, Marty, Alvin, and yours truly, 104-83. So keep it locked over the weekend. See how our individual and collective picks are going to play out. Alvin, it's been fun being back in the studio together.
We did this a few times back in the day.
That's right.
Just me and you on a Saturday morning, baby.
Just the two of us. And next week, hey, Marty's going to be back as well, driving this ship. But for Alvin Reed, my name is Bradford Bruns. Good luck to everybody out there. Thank you for listening to the College Football Connection. Until next week, good luck, have some fun, and we'll be back with you very soon.
You've been listening to the College Football Connection podcast with Marty Jenkins and Alvin Reed on 101 ESPN Sports Talk for St. Louis.